Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now to give you the opportunity to call and get immediate answers to your questions or discuss the important issues in your life right now. The toll-free number is yours if you call 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Or to help you remember, it's 844-32-BASIC. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper will return tomorrow, but Bob Christopher, it's good to have you back in the studio right now this very day.
Well, it's great to be back. Gina and I had a wonderful vacation last week out on the West Coast, enjoyed some beautiful sunshine and great weather, and watched our daughter Caitlin play a little softball. And
yeah.
We just had a fabulous time, but
That's
it's always
great.
Good to be back home. It's good to be back in the studio to talk about the most important person that's ever been, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
I was going to ask
what
you.
We talk about every day on the radio broadcast yeah. and how Jesus impacts and influences our day-to-day lives. I mean, he is the good news when you get right down to it. Jesus is God's gift to each and every one of us. We receive him, and when we do, we receive life, and that's what this Easter season is all about, the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. That is what salvation is all about. I challenge our listeners to go through the New Testament and look at how many times the writers use the word life. So often we think of salvation merely in terms of forgiveness of sins, but really it's about life. It's about this new life that we receive in Jesus Christ. Just as he was raised from the dead physically, we're raised from the dead spiritually. I know in my own life that was the missing link as far as my Christian experience was concerned. I was trying to do it on my own. I didn't know I'd received new life. I didn't know I had received his life. I didn't know he was alive living inside of me. And when that truth hit, boy, my Christian life just exploded in a very, very positive way. And we want that for you. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're tired of that struggle. Maybe you're looking for, kind of a fresh start, a clean slate. Well, the gospel message is the place to start. Let's talk about it on today's program.
That's a good idea, Bob. This past Friday, the phone lines were jammed with calls. The screen was totally full, and we have not received that many calls in quite a while, so we were not able to get to some of them. So if that was your case and we didn't get to your question this past Friday, well, we encourage you to call right now, 844-322-2742. We have an open line for you right as we speak, 844-322-2742. The lines are open and plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to address your question on this edition of Basic Gospel. Speaking of questions, Bob, we'll get the day and the week underway with a question from Stephen. He says, Bob, is it wrong to pray every night that the Lord would take me home to be with him? I mean, what greater thing is there than to be face-to-face with the Lord Jesus? I feel tormented by this flesh I'm in and want the Lord to call me home. I can't do it myself and would not want to. I know he is in control, and I think about him all the time. I just see the fallen world and how I'm not making it any better, and I'm just glad that it has not depended upon me. I do believe that Jesus is my way, my truth, my life, and my way to the Father. Paul himself wrote, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. My other prayer is that God would glorify himself through me. Do these sound like unusual thoughts for a believer? That's from Stephen, who wrote to us from Stillwell, Kansas.
I don't think those are unusual thoughts, Bob. I think all of us get tired of, you know, kind of that conflict that we have with the flesh. We get tired of trying to make it in this world. And so we know the great hope that we have in Christ, that when we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. And certainly Paul struggled with that. He wrote this in Philippians. He says, I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for you. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. And so we see that struggle right there in this letter from Paul to the Philippians. He knew that conflict. He knew that experience. And of all people, he probably knew it better than anyone. I mean, he was pouring himself out to death every single day. I mean, he was shipwrecked. He almost drowned in the sea. He, you know, struggled with where am I going to get my next meal? He was cold. He experienced
stuff, yeah,
all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And you can just imagine, it's like, Lord, when is this going to end? I just want to be there with you. So it's not unusual for believers to feel that way and to think that way and to even pray that way. But I think we have to step back and see exactly what Paul said in response. He said, yet what shall I choose? I desire to be a part, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. We have a purpose here. We can make ourselves available to the living Christ to live his life through us. That's our purpose. And how God uses that, how God impacts others as a result of that, that's his business, not ours. But we do have a purpose. I think there was a little sadness in his comments there that he's not making the world a better place. Well, it's not his job to make the world a better place. It's his job to simply trust Jesus and to offer himself as a living sacrifice to Jesus, to live his life through him.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, if all of us can see that that's the life that God called us to, that's this life of faith, that's this new life that we have in Christ, that we can trust Jesus to do some wonderful things in and through us to make the impact in this world that Jesus wants to make. So we do have a purpose, and while we're still here, let's embrace that purpose, let's offer ourselves to Christ, and trust him to live his life through us.
Stephen, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you and an encouragement as well. And friends, we have plenty of open lines. If you'd like to pose a question, that's why we're on the air live, so that you can get an immediate answer to your questions and discuss your particular life issue, that things that you may be going through and frustrating to you. Well, good opportunity to speak with us right now at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, my name is Bob Davis. Plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob, a question from Clay in Hutto, Texas says, I know we are speaking of the subject of the bodily resurrection of Jesus this month. At the Transfiguration, was that Jesus' glorified body? I believe it was, from Matthew 24:33 and Luke 21:32. I believe every person on that mountain had a glorified body, including Elijah and Moses, transfigured Jesus and Peter, James, and John. What do you think?
Well, it was glorified. There was something special about it, but the resurrection body of Jesus didn't take place until he was raised from the dead. I mean, that was the physical resurrection of Christ. There's going to be a physical resurrection of the bodies of those who know Christ at some point in the future. That's going to be a glorious time. So maybe Elijah and Moses had some glorified body. We don't know exactly what that was, but we know that Christ received his resurrection body, the body that had immortality and that sort of thing, after he was raised from the dead, or at the resurrection. And so I think we just need to stick with that. There are some, you know, as you go through the scriptures, there are some incredible stories, really inexplicable. There's no rhyme or reason to them other than to say they happened. How Jesus was transfigured, and that's really how the Word of God describes what happened on that mountain. Jesus was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, and Elijah and Moses appeared with Jesus in that transfigured state. Boy, that's a mystery. That's beyond our pay scale.
Yeah.
As far as figuring out the whys and the hows and all of that to give an explanation. But we do know this. Jesus died. the body that hung on the cross, that suffered, that agonized, that breathed its last, was put in a grave, and 3 days later it came out in a completely different state. The mortal had put on immortality.
Yeah.
That body, Jesus's body, Jesus's resurrected body, will never suffer death. And in the same way, we're going to receive a body that will never suffer death again as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we appreciate, Bob, as you know, our listeners who write to us and pose questions and give us thoughts of encouragement and so forth. And friends, if you have a question that you'd like to pose but can't get to the phone while we're actually in the air live, why, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net and drop us an email. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. And what you hear each day on Basic Gospel makes a difference in your life, we want you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And please include Basic Gospel in your giving to support the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find a support link at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator to make your gift. And you can do that by calling 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC. And, of course, Bob, for anyone who can make a gift at this particular time, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's book.
we have a new offer today that we're making available. It's called Proof. The resurrection,
yes.
Of all the, aspects of Christianity, resurrection is the kind of linchpin. It's the one that critics point the finger to most often. So how do we really know that Jesus raised back to life? What proof do we have? Mm-hmm. Well, this particular CD, Richard and I talk about the overwhelming evidence to prove the case for the resurrection. We want to put that in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel from this point forward. So that is our offer that's on the table today, starting today.
See, we get our wires crossed sometimes.
Guess we do.
I enjoyed working on that project. You and Richard did a wonderful job in explaining and presenting the truth of the gospel and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource, and we encourage our listeners to make that gift and get your free copy of it, and we would love for you to do that. And speaking of money, we had a question from Teresa from Long Island, New York, lives in Wautau, New York. She says, where do tithes come into play under the new covenant? I love to give my 10% to my church and to give wherever else I feel led, also fasting with prayer. What about fasting? Am I stuck in the law by practicing these? My family and I are so blessed by your Basic Gospel ministry. God bless and continue the good work. That's from Teresa in Long Island, New York.
Well, that's a wonderful question, and it really hits at the heart and soul of the gospel message, and really at the heart and soul of why the resurrection. We had an old covenant. We see that old covenant in the Old Testament. We see the Ten Commandments, we see 613 other laws, we see a sacrificial system, but that was a covenant of death. It ruled and reigned on the death side, the dark side of the human experience. Jesus fulfilled that in his death. He took everything about that old covenant, about our old life, and he took it in himself, and he died. And then 3 days later, he was raised back to life. Well, he was raised back to life to be kind of the author and perfecter of this new covenant that we live in. He's going to bring it to maturity in our lives. And that's where we live today. We live in the new covenant. We are new covenant believers. Jesus is the high priest. He's the mediator. He's the guarantee. He is the heart and soul of this new covenant. Why? Because he's the one that's alive, and this new covenant is a covenant of life. Well, in life, we have been given the opportunity to excel in the grace of giving. That's what Paul writes about in his second letter to the Corinthians. He encourages those Corinthians to excel in the grace of giving. What does that mean? To allow the life of Christ that's living in us by the Spirit of God to move our hearts to give cheerfully, to give freely, to give without compulsion, not to think of it in terms of a number necessarily, but to just give out of the joy of our heart. And that's what New Covenant giving is all about. When we try to put numbers, requirements, and those sort of things, we're going back to an old system. So God wants us to keep moving forward in this new system that we have called the New Covenant. Mm-hmm. There are so much in the old, you know, fasting and prayer, and we're doing that to gain God's blessings, to earn His favor, to get Him to work on our behalf. Well, He's already worked on our behalf. He sent right. Jesus. He's done everything that was necessary. So we need to rest in that. We need to trust in that. And so it gives us a new perspective, a new framework to think through every single thing that we used to do in the Christian life.
Yeah.
You know, why pray? Well, I think this new covenant gives us a different answer. Mm-hmm. Prayed in the old covenant to, you know, Lord, we've sinned again. Please forgive. We've done this. We want to get back into Your good graces. In this new covenant, we pray out of a heart of thankfulness. Lord, thank You for what You've accomplished. Thank You that You've taken away our sins. Thank You that You've declared us righteous. Thank You that You're alive, living inside of us. Teach us how to walk by faith. Teach us how to trust You. So we have to allow this new covenant to reshape everything as to what we once thought was important as far as our Christian lives were concerned. And yeah. When we do, I think we're really going to catch fire and really enjoy this new covenant life that we have in Christ.
I couldn't agree more. And Teresa, thank you for your question to Basic Gospel. Again, that toll-free number, friends, 844-322-2742. It's available right now. If you were one of the ones who called this past Friday and were not able to get in, we'd love to hear from you right now. The lines are open. They're yours. Again, at 844-322-2742. Bob, a question from Jose, who lives in Tampa, Florida, listens on oneplace.com, says, I love your program and God bless you all. My question is, how do you handle family members who always and still put you down? I pray for them, of course, and forgive them before the devil can get a foothold. They are unbelievers in Jesus Christ, and it hurts because they are my grandparents. Any suggestions? And thank you in advance for your answer.
Well, I think you just have to have a conversation with your grandparents and say, listen, you say a bunch of things that hurt my feelings. I don't know if you know that, but you do. And they may not know that they're hurting this particular person's feelings. So have a conversation. I think oftentimes we're afraid to raise some objections. We don't want to confront people. We don't want to feel that tension. And boy, there's tension when you do raise some of those issues.
Of course.
But trust the Lord with that. Have a conversation. I think it might open some new doors there. And one of the other things that I think we need to address when it comes to personal relationships, a lot of times we get our feelings hurt because we so want that person to accept us and approve of us. And when we perceive that they are not, it hurts us deeply. And I think we need to come to the point and realize that our acceptance, our approval is from Christ.
Yeah.
That opinions of people are going to change. Approval ratings, as we see in the political world, they go up and down, don't they?
Absolutely.
You know, if things are going good for me, you know, I have a high approval rating of what's happening in government circles. If things aren't going so well for me, I have a low approval rating. Well, think about the guy sitting in the Oval Office. Just, you know, he'd be a basket case if his identity was based on approval ratings.
Yeah.
And so we have to come to the point and ask the question, where am I finding my acceptance? Is it in Christ or is it in the opinions of others?
Yeah.
And if it's in the opinions of others, our emotions are going to have wide swings. Why? Because opinions have wide swings. And we can perceive that others are thinking highly of us or they are thinking negatively of us. And our emotions are going to follow that. So we have to put those aside, and we have to say our acceptance is in Christ and in Christ alone. And yeah. He has a high approval rating of us. It is just amazing what He thinks about us. He's declared us to be righteous. He sees us as holy and blameless in His sight. Nothing will ever separate us from His love. He accepts us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. There are no strings attached. He is pleased with us. He approves of us. That's good news. Let's find solid footing right there. And if we find solid footing right there, then all the sinking sand around us won't affect us as much as it once did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, friends, you've tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Bob Davis on this edition. Richard will return tomorrow. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Mark in Lexington, Kentucky, listening on WJMM. He says, I am a Christian believer in the resurrected Jesus. I've been diagnosed as bipolar and have been on tobacco for many years. It seems to give me an outlet for my anxieties by calming my nerves. I'm afraid to quit and have the withdrawals cause an episode of mania or depression. Will God have mercy on me for my addiction in the end?
Well, He's already shown that He has mercy, and that mercy was revealed to us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. So we either receive that mercy or we don't. That's as simple as it gets. So God is not telling you as a person you need to quit smoking and then I'll have mercy on you, or you need to clean up your flesh, you need to clean up your act, then I will have mercy on you. That's not how God works. That's not how grace works. Grace just rescues us. So if you've received Jesus Christ, you've been rescued, you've been saved, you are standing in the mercy of God. And as a result of that, you can go boldly into the throne of grace and find mercy and help in your time of need. And certainly, you are in a time of need. And one of the things that I noticed in this email, Bob, is that he is afraid. He's afraid to let go of cigarette smoking. He's afraid. And there's no way to really experience what God has for you when you are letting fear be the motivating factor behind every single decision.
Yeah.
At some point, you have to let go of that and say, I want to walk by faith. I'm going to let go of these cigarettes, knowing that God is much bigger than any anxiety that I might have. He's much bigger than anything that's going on inside of me. And I'm going to trust Him to calm my nerves, to guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And there is just this wonderful passage, and we quote it quite often here on the broadcast. It's Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Why? Because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
That's good stuff.
Man, we have the risen Christ to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ. That's better than any cigarette. That's better than anything that we can find out in the world.
Yeah.
Let's trust the Lord Jesus. It takes courage to take that step of faith. But I encourage you, take courage.
Take it.
Take that step of faith.
Yeah.
You have Jesus, the resurrected one. You can count on Him.
Absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you for that. And thanks to those of you who write to pose your questions by email. We love hearing from you. Also, our heartfelt thanks to each of you who have supported Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your financial gifts. You are the reason the message of the grace of God continues on the airwaves and online through Basic Gospel. We hope you'll continue to help us get the word out, and when you do, we have a copy of our new CD, Proof, by Bob Christopher and Richard Piper for you. That's for a gift of any amount to the ministry right now. You'll find an online support link in the menu at basicgospel.net, or during Central Time office hours, you can call and speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that's 844-41-BASIC. Speak with Billy. She'd love to hear from you. May God richly bless and multiply your gift to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for the absent Richard Piper, who, of course, will return to these microphones tomorrow, and for our ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.